Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes, I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
Lisa Johnson, how's it going?
How are you? It's good.
Good. You had a pretty amazing chat last night, would you say? Did you like it?
Was it
busy enough for you?
Yeah, it was awesome. I'm constantly amazed at how many people you have come out in your state and beyond to participate in your chats. It's amazing to have such an interactive group.
Yay!
An involved group, you know?
Yeah. Okay, so let's start with the basics. You are Lisa Johnson. What is your job title and where are you in the world?
I assume you're recording.
Yes.
My job title is educational technologist, and I am in Austin, Texas, so I'm not far away from Oklahoma. And I work at a K-12 one-to-one iPad school district here in Austin, Texas, and I'm kind of located on the high school campus with another ed tech. So we basically support about 2,700 students and 220 teachers at this campus.
Excellent. So what were your intentions with this ed chat? And so cultivating communication in the classroom was the title. Did you have, you know, a method to the madness, or were you, approached by Anne? Did you approach Anne? How'd it go there?
Well, you know, Anne is awesome, and she gave me kind of free rein into, you know, what I wanted to talk about and that kind of thing. So she said, hey, let's kind of focus it around the topic of your book. So, you know, cultivating communication in the classroom. And so I just kind of picked some, I'll say hot topics, but just, you know, certain things that I thought were topics that could be talked about now. You know, they would still resonate with everybody, and, you know, that there might be different takes on things. And so that was kind of powerful. I wanted to start with the social emotional learning piece, just because I think it impacts, so greatly impacts the way that we communicate with others in a variety of settings. And so I really wanted to make sure that was kind of at the forefront of everything.
Yeah. What was your favorite question of the night?
Well, actually, you know, side note, I'm just going to go off on a tangent here.
Do it.
It was really awesome. Like, I felt very blessed and honored to have as many people participate and really share, you know, ideas and things like that. I just thought that was awesome. So I think what was interesting, and I'm going to take kind of a different sort of take on this, but I had asked a question. It was question 5, was what types of professional development do you provide for your students? And, you know, I got a lot of different things out there that was just really, really great. But something that kind of hit home to me, because I think sometimes we just assume things. And, you know, I think somebody in the chat had said, well, you know, we barely have enough time to teach, or, you know, the way. And I know from talking to you and Anne about kind of the state of Oklahoma education system, and, you know, things that are going on. And so I kind of had to, you know, take a step back and say, you know what, I'm reiterating, I didn't intend that these are all things that are done necessarily in the classroom, because some, you know, places do have a support staff, or sometimes, you know, you'll have librarians do professional development. But it taught me, you know, to kind of think about the type of question and also how I word the question, because, and that was just kind of an enlightening for me. But ones that I got really great feedback on, I mean, all of them I got great feedback on. One of the favorites, actually, though, was, I think it was, how do you ensure students avoid digital distractions? And I don't remember who said it. I should have, like, you know.
Oh, the girl who talked about her pants never being worn out.
Oh my God, I seriously laughed out loud. It was hilarious. I thought that was amazing. I said, I'm totally stealing that. The idea of, you know, the soles of my shoe, you know, are always worn out, but my pants are never worn out. I was like, that's amazing.
Yeah. Okay. That was,
it's just an awesome way to say something like that. So yeah, I love the candid responses.
That was M. Kanabe, and she is at OB1 Kanabe, which is just a cool name anyway. But I picked her as my favorite answer on question 6. So that's, I had it right here in front of me. So that was an answer that obviously stood out. Were there any other answers that kind of stood out to you?
Yeah, actually. So please make sure that I don't butcher, her name. But it's Joy. Is it
Hoffmeister? Yeah.
I didn't want to mispronounce it and then, you know, feel like a schmuck. So,
yeah, she hates you now.
So she actually, well, first of all, kudos to y'all, because the fact that she was even participating, you know, in the chat and kind of like, not only that she was there, but she was actually contributing was awesome. But she said something about, she was on a panel with 3 recent high school grads, and they were talking about leadership. Okay. Audience. They felt most prepared for life by teachers who taught them public speaking, because it boosted their confidence, and we need more opportunities for this practical coaching modeling that students crave. So one, that she was, you know, involved in that, but also I know what I see, you know, here in the classrooms, different places, and I know how valuable those sort of skills are, but to kind of hear it from other people, but it was awesome as well. It felt very validating.
Yes. No, we are very blessed. I mean, it's the most connected I've felt to a state superintendent. All right, so what are some of your passions right now? I know you're super into bullet journaling and note-taking because I follow you on Instagram. I follow you on Pinterest. I follow you on Twitter. I have your website pulled up right now because you've got just amazing resources on everything. But what are some of your passions right now? And they don't have to be education-related. Just, you know, throw them out there.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, I think one, you know, that it is, I think you're going to see more of it in education, but just the bullet journaling, it really is. And just that whole like analog note-taking, it's fascinating to me. You know, I'll follow a lot of people, and it's funny. I just did a training with students on that very topic on, actually last Friday. And what was interesting is I told them, I said, literally everything I've learned about this particular topic, I've either learned off the internet or I've learned through Instagram hashtags.
Yeah.
Like that, it's amazing. So that was really cool. I don't know. Washi tape's kind of awesome.
I'm a big, so again, you are very inspiring, but I went out and bought washi tape for the first time and started putting it in my little bullet journal. So that's been fun. I'm just going to copy everything you do. Okay.
But doesn't it make you happy?
It does. It does. I'm a little giddy even talking about it right now.
Okay. That's good. Yeah. I mean, and then the other thing, I mean, you kind of seen it through the blogs then, but I've been kind of trying to get some blog posts out there about some of the student professional development that we've been doing. And, you know, some of it's about managing digital distractions, and none of it's like turn off your device. You know, it's not that, but it's just, you know, we live in a digital age. We need to provide professional development to students. And I'm in a position where I can do that. You know, I'm not a classroom teacher who's responsible for, you know, all of these, you know, standards and, you know, curriculum and scope and sequence. You know, that is my job. And so I want to kind of share those out, but I also want to learn from other people who are doing that as well. So those are kind of my big things right now. And you know, we have curbside grocery delivery, so that's pretty awesome too.
I just did online ordering for the first time, and it didn't come to my curb, but I went through a drive-through at Walmart, and I didn't have to get out of the car, and he wouldn't take my tip. So,
right?
Pretty amazing.
yeah.
Who are Lisa Johnson's edu heroes?
Good. I'm glad you made that plural, because I wasn't going to be able to give you one. So I'll tell you, ever since I met Josh Flores, he's kind of the most amazing person. And he seriously, like, the stuff that he shares makes me just smile. And, like, he's got these two sides. Like, obviously, he's very comical. He's got, you know, just a wit that I greatly appreciate. But he also shares, you know, super legit stuff. He's Mr. Josh Flores, M-R, not M-I-S-T-E-R, on Twitter. But yeah, he's got amazing stuff. Like the stuff that they did on HyperDocs and other things was just really, really well thought out. And I appreciated that. So I definitely kind of enjoy him. And then I'll give you another person too. Laura Grundler, she runs K-12 Art Chat. I don't know if any of, you know, y'all kind of follow that, but she's got awesome stuff on Instagram and awesome stuff that she shares about her students and, you know, just art education in general. It's actually Grundler Art, but she also does the K-12 Art Chat. And then I love Dan Ryder. He's at Wicked Decent, and Amy Revol. They just put out a new book, which is awesome. And I don't know, Dan Ryder and I think we just have a kindred, you know, wackadoo kind of spirit. So I appreciate that. And then one other one, this is kind of in the hero sort of realm, but there's a lady, she runs this, she's like a, you know, entrepreneur, just awesome person. And she runs Urban Betty here in town. But I went to an Instagram boot camp. Yes, I did actually go to a training to learn how to better use Instagram. and she's just got awesome stuff. Like, not only she runs another one, it's like a weird homes tour all over, you know, the U.S. They had one in Louisiana. They have one in Houston. They have them kind of all over. And so I don't just follow kind of edu heroes, but I think you can learn a lot from people who are doing awesome stuff in, you know, a variety of different fields. So and obviously I follow you and Anne. I think the stuff that you put out there is amazing, and I love your Instagram as well. They're beautiful pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's awesome to cross state lines.
Yeah. Well, and you've been crossing them a lot, and you should know it's thoroughly appreciated. What's on the horizon? What you tweeted me last night, is that something you can share?
Yeah, definitely. It's, you know, it's funny. Somebody shared, it was Toby. It was Toby Price had mentioned that there was a book that he was reading, and he's like, oh, it's great, but I can't share because it has an inappropriate title. And I was like, oh, okay. So it's that subtle art of not giving a, you know,
yeah.
Beep. But, you know, it's kind of one of those things. And I told him, I said, you know, I suffer a bit from caring too much, or, you know, being overly aware of what people think or how they might react, or, you know, that I get their hopes up about things, or, you know, that sort of thing. So I hadn't really shared it yet, but now that I'm really kind of working on it and it's kind of come to fruition. So I'm writing a book. Well, I've already written a book, obviously, but I'm writing a second book. And a lot of the things that you've kind of been seeing with the note taking and the bullet journaling and, you know, all of those things are going to kind of be crafted into a book, and it'll be published with one of my absolute favorite publishers, Dave Burgess. So I'm super excited about that. I owe him a final draft sometime in March. So you probably won't see it until summer, but I'm really excited. I've got some awesome ideas for it. And I knew that there wasn't a better publisher for this particular kind of the way that I really wanted to craft it, because I wanted to give it, you know, that feel of a journal, as well as include all the research and, you know, the best practices and examples and things like that. So I'm super stoked about it, and I have to finish it now. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Okay, so one last thing. I've been kicking around this idea. Wonder if you'd be interested. And if you're not, I will totally edit this out. No, I'm just kidding. What about a shared journal? Just saying. So I start it. I, you know, put a little something together. I send it in the mail to Lisa Johnson. Lisa Johnson fills out a page or two, sends it in the mail to, I don't know, at Urban Betty. Urban Betty puts it in the mail and sends it back. And maybe there's like five people in this group, and it just kind of keeps going back and forth. And we all kind of hit on each other's ideas and then try to one-up each other each time.
No, I love the idea. Actually, I didn't even mention this, but my sister-in-law, Melissa Johnson, she does tons of art journaling. She's been published several times, and they in the art journaling world, like, that's totally a thing where people do, you know, collaborative journals and things like that. It's, for some reason, not so much a thing in the EDU realm.
Well, let's start it, buddy.
Well, of course. So I will tell you, Laura Grundler sent me one, and I still have yet to, I've done some of the pages, but I haven't sent it back to her yet, so I do owe her hers. But I really like the idea of multiple people because, you know, when it's just two people, yes, you get kind of more intimate with the content, but then you also feel like you, you know, it's when you have five, you have a little bit more time to, you know, get your pages done and kind of get it back to the next person and things like that. Now, I think it's a great idea. It's kind of funny. Somebody said on the Twitters last night, they said, life is recursive.
Yes. I've got that one. That one's my boom sauce tweet. It was Mrs. Waters. I've already got that in the template also for our Okla Said podcast, because that was my boom sauce tweet of the night.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I loved it. And I actually wrote it down and then wrote it down again. But what it made me think of right now is in the olden days when I was in high school, which was only two decades ago, but we had like a journal that we would, you know, there wasn't texting. So we would like pass it to the next person in the hallway and then they would write some stuff back and forth. And it was like our texting, you know, and it's kind of funny, the whole idea of life is recursive, because I see a lot more people who are not doing away with technology by any means, but they're kind of returning to some of those analog things. And so I thought that was pretty cool. So anyway, yes, I would totally be, down for that. I would love to share washi tape and planner stickers I order from Singapore and other things of that nature.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me.
Okla Said, episode 38, take two.
Welcome back to Okla Said. It is the official Okla Ed podcast. And this is a very special podcast because it's Veterans Day. This is Veterans Day weekend.
Yeah, it's starting tomorrow. We get to, which we should celebrate more often, maybe. But thank you for serving, for those that do.
Thank you. And if we started calling people out by name, we would obviously leave people out. So for all of you that have served and are still serving, we appreciate you, we respect you, and we thank you, because if it weren't for you, we may not get to say things we want to say. Maybe we'd have a dictatorship like North Korea or something.
Yeah, it could be weird. So we appreciate sacrifices and everything that you have done. Some, let's see, how did that Toby Keith song go? All gave some gave all.
Okay.
I think. All gave some gave all.
Yeah. All right.
So there you go.
I like it.
Thank you. Salute. Well,
this week, it was all about cultivating communication in the classroom, yep. And it was hosted by Lisa Johnson. She is at Tech Chef for You, and if you are not following her, I have no idea what you're doing with your life.
You're doing all wrong if you're not following her.
Well, okay, not only that, she's got Twitter, obviously. Yeah. She's got an Instagram page. She's got a Pinterest, I mean, a plethora of stuff she shares on Pinterest. She's got a website. She's got a book. She's writing a second book. I mean, this gal is quite the sharer of information.
I need people that share with me, so.
I know. Can I please just have you share with me, and I'll just give you credit for everything that I steal from you.
I try and share back when I can.
Yeah. So how about we dive in?
Oh, let's do. What was question one?
How do you infuse social emotional learning skills within your curriculum and your school? I kind of thought, like, all right, where's our warm-up question? That one already made me think. I actually looked up social emotional learning to see if it was still the same thing I remembered it being. And then I really think, like, how do I do that?
There was a lot of questions that she posted on this particular chat that were thinkers. Like, a lot of times a question will come up and I'm like, I got an answer for that. Read it, answer it.
Yeah.
And today,
yeah.
That darn lady had some thinkers.
And so kids, obviously, I mean, sometimes we get wrapped up in our own little world, Scott, mm-hmm. and we really only think about our feelings sometimes. Right. You know, every once in a while, I'll consider your feelings. Like, I was super proud of you that your dissertation stuff.
Oh, I just lost your microphone. No, not now. You're looking good. Wait, Aaron, you can't say that kind of words on pod. Oh, there you go. I got you back.
I'm good.
Yep.
Okay. Sometimes we get wrapped up in our own emotions. We don't, think about other people.
Right.
Let alone our students who have their own emotional baggage mm-hmm. and things that they're bringing into the classroom. You know, we've got a job to do, and we sometimes just get in robot mode and like, you must learn this today. And right. today we're working on contractions. And if you don't get it, by golly, you will not pass that 12% of the test.
The whole herding the cats. We forget it's individuals, yeah. and you know, it's you know, it could just comes back to if I'm driving the bus and nobody gets on my bus, what am I doing? You know,
you are probably singing at the top of your lungs.
Maybe, but if nobody's on my bus, I don't know. So yeah. I agree. Like, I can't tell you how many times you just default back into teacher mode when you got a classroom full of students and you're, instead of meeting the needs of all 35 students, which is really super duper hard and almost impossible, you're just looking at one large group of gelatinous things scooch forward 1 inch closer to the finish line.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I went with a Kenneth Ward tweet here, and he is our middle school principal of the year in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Doing amazing things, has done amazing things, yep. probably why he is the middle school principal of the year. But he said, don't assume they know, and don't get mad when they don't. Just teach.
Yeah.
And I thought that was just so good, because I forget regularly, oh, well, I didn't teach them how to do that, so don't be mad that they don't know how.
Oh, goodness gracious. You know what he's doing on Fridays?
Tell me.
He is visiting other schools and talking with administration and talking with teachers and things like that in other buildings. How cool is that?
Of course he is. It's just awesome.
Yeah. You know the ideas that you can get from doing something like that?
Probably more than what's in your own brain.
I mean, I would have never thought up a podcast about Okla Ed, and I've got a lot of passion for it, as you are aware. So
yeah, I mean, it's just sometimes...
Your brain plus my brain made a podcast. So imagine now Kenny wandering around putting his brain
every
with all
Friday.
These other... Yeah.
Yes.
He's like mind-melding it up with folks. Anyway, I went with Stephanie Heim. She is at the Steph Hinton. I'm sorry.
You said Heim.
Yeah.
But this is Hinton.
Not...
Both amazing Stephanies, but...
I mean, different parts of the state, my bad. So this is Stephanie Hinton. She's at the Steph Hinton, and she said, by remembering that students are people who need a safe platform to grow in their SEL skills, social-emotional learning, and SEL has to be a part of daily practice.
Yes.
So, right, they are people. We forget that sometimes when we're looking at a whole group of them.
Yes.
And we say it's not about the test, and what do? Try and herd them all towards the test. I mean,
get them ready for that stupid test.
Or whatever. Or finish the unit.
Yeah.
Or
I mean, even if
today
it is
we're all
a
on section two,
or,
chapter two,
exactly.
sentence two.
Who cares about what happened at home last night or on the way to school today or if you ate breakfast or whatever? We got to do this.
Yeah.
All right.
Question two. What types of tools or best practices do you use to ensure cooperative groups function effectively before, during, and at the end of a project? So this is where I plug Flip Classroom, because that was when I finally got collaborative groups to work well for me. And I'm sure if you just listen to an basically the odds are good there's an episode where I've described what I've done, and the burden sort of goes on to the students at that point. It became a like my cooperative, I'm not saying they were all angels and everything was perfect, but I had very well functioning cooperative groups when I introduced that model. So.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, back on the flip classroom a little bit, once I started flipping, and in my own way, because I loosely follow rules.
Right.
There's
no one right way.
That's very true. But
The biggest hang up for me, it seemed like whenever I was teaching before without this flipping version, was the prior knowledge or the background knowledge in a subject. You know, you start a discussion and there's just no conversation happening. And Right. Here, if they get it ahead of time, or if you assign it over the weekend, or if you assign it the day before, you know, you're ready for this discussion, then they all come in with kind of the same, knowledge and background knowledge to be able to have a real discussion, and everybody can be involved versus just, you know, a couple of people.
Right.
So, yeah.
So who's your tweet?
I went with a Rob Miller tweet on this. Oh, man.
So I'm glad he was back.
I know, we were just pumping up Ken Ward there, but Rob Miller, man, your voice has been missed over the last couple of months, and I just want you to know we appreciate your wisdom, sir.
And look at that, you got a tweet in the pod.
There you go. He said, I think the key to doing this well is to have a plan and take time to teach the students these skills. Can't just tell them all, get along. get along.
That's like, that's okay. So we're doing this podcasty thing. That'd be like me coming to you, and going, Aaron, I've got this idea. We should do a podcast. And hey, I know that you know how to do GarageBand and stuff like that, but also yeah. Could you go ahead and put together the entire website and promote it and develop a Twitter and a Tumblr account and tie it all together in together so you can just hit one button and send it out?
Oh gosh. So the GarageBand. Yes. Yeah, no.
Just do it. No, just get along and do it. You'll be okay.
Would you just teach me?
I mean, that's where I have the website part figured out. Aaron has the GarageBand thing figured out, and we work together.
Yes.
Like, we complement each other's skills.
Yeah.
I went with hashtag JFlow, hashtag get literate. Fireball emoji. Who is Josh Flores at Mr. Josh Flores, who was, and just going back to our interview for a minute with Tech Chef, was she fawning all over Josh or what?
Oh my word, yes. And so I got to tell you, whenever she and I finished that, I recorded with my cell phone just a little snippet, and I was like, oh, but you're going to have to listen to the episode to get the rest. And he was like, woo, swoon, man. Swoon, swoon. It was so goodness. Fun.
I think Mr. Flores is accounted for, but...
present.
Anyway, so he is at Mr. Josh Flores. He said, when there is a disagreement, decisions are made using the very scientific basis that ninja is less than cowboy, is less than bear, is less than ninja. Which this has a graphic.
Cowboy,
so click
ninja,
into
bear,
the, yeah. So this has a graphic that goes into the show notes. So click into his tweet and check it out.
And I'm pretty sure Lisa said something like, I need to know everything about this right now.
Yeah. Yeah, her tweet response was pretty much, chat is coming to an end until this is sorted out.
Yeah, please give it to me now. Yeah. Well, question three. How do you teach or model visual literacy and presentation skills with your students? So anytime I have put together a presentation, I will kind of give a little bit of the mechanics mm-hmm. of it. And I don't do a whole lot of these, but whenever I do, I'll tell my students, all right, I use, you know, the such and such theme, and it sets everything up for you. So, you know, your header is always going to be in this position. You know, right. Your, you know, body is always going to be in this position, and it kind of just gives it a more streamlined effect.
Okay.
So that you don't have to overthink the actual presentation. The content is what you can focus on.
Right.
So that's how I kind of help out with the visual literacy and presentation skills.
I think that's really good. I don't often go with a planned thing.
Because you're amazing and you don't need to.
No, no, no.
Your brain's like, I do super awesome things all the time. Here I go.
I feel uncomfortable now. But... no, but that's not my mojo. Whereas, like, for you, that's your good mojo. And you've got it... sorted out into, you know, like your personality, and mine is suited into mine. And but I had to grow through that. Like I had to understand some of these other things first. I had to have some practice somewhere along the way first.
Yeah, no, I get it.
What I'm saying? And so that became my mojo, just like you've had practice along the way, and now this is your mojo. This is where you're comfortable. But we grew into, and I think we forget as adults that we've grown into some of these things, and here our kids are being asked to do XYZ without having some of that built in.
Right. Well, I went with a Toby Price tweet on this one. He is at Jedi Padmaster.
Yeah, that's right.
Love that.
Yeah.
He's not a regular with us.
No, but that's okay.
Okay.
He's,
well,
he's pretty, he's a, like, put him on your follow list.
Yeah. No, follow Toby.
Yeah.
He said, we started having students read and present the announcements. Great time to seek, oh my gosh. There's no seeking going on here. Sorry. Let me start that over. Toby Price said, he said, we started having students read and present the announcements. Great time to practice speaking.
Yes, just like you just speaking. Did. Speaking is hard.
I have to practice it.
I went with Amber McMath, who is at Miss McReading.
Yes.
Did you?
I chuckled.
McMath, McReading. McMath, McReading.
Yeah.
She said, create so many informal presentation opportunities that any quote-unquote big presentation in class doesn't feel big. And I really like that because some of our students, they don't want that pressure.
No.
They don't want all the eyes on them. But if we've
if you only do a couple of presentations in a year,
right.
Each of those is big.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like super big because there's always some sort of huge grade attached to it. But if we've created these little things where kids are constantly like in my classroom, kids would work, just they would just get up and start working problems out on the board. Well, they're working it out in front of everybody.
Right.
And they may be just working it for their group, but they may be also working it for another group and not realize it. And so if we've done that enough and it's a normal part of the day, I don't know.
No, it would definitely help. I would think even for somebody who would prefer to be lit on fire versus speaking in front of a group of people, it would even help them, you know, just getting up every once in a while and not let it be so, I don't know, so just big. Yes.
Right.
Anyway, I'm rambling.
No, question that's okay. Four. So thanks. I'll go to question four when I'm ready. What types of tools, artifacts, and processes do you use in archiving and reflecting on students' work?
So do you want to plug? What would Ann Beck say here?
Ann Beck would be like, seesaw, guys. You just seesaw. It can do what do you need it to do? Seesaw.
And I think
I need it to fly
Tanya
a kite,
Gott
seesaw.
Rides that, I know. Tanya Gott rides that same train. Shelley Fryer, Wes Fryer. I think all of these people are, they should be ambassadors if they're not, because they are always talking up seesaw.
Yeah, they always are. And seesaw really is a really good platform. We just a little bit, but those folks that were just mentioned are all big time Seesaw users and love it, and it is good. Like, they don't love it because it's because they're different or weird. I mean, we're all different and weird. They love it because it's a great program for doing these kinds of things.
Well, and they're all kind of big names on the Twitters, and so why wouldn't you do what they say to do?
There's a reason. But no, yeah, I agree with Ann Beck on this one. But now my only issue is at some point Seesaw, I feel like, is a bit dated-ish with the kids.
Yeah. I mean, especially older kids, I think. I think they're trying to fix that, but I agree there.
So anyway.
So I went with an Andy Adams tweet on
this.
He is at Kilgore Tech. He says, having students create and maintain their own Google site is a nice free resource with a lot of potential. So Andy one-upped me because I said put everything into the Google Drive and then teach them how to organize it. But this is even better. This is like Google Drive but shared.
Yeah. Well,
it's out there.
Yeah. Anything you do in Google Drive, you can put out there in the world. Like even your Google Slide deck or whatever. But
I don't. It doesn't just naturally be out in the world.
Right.
With a website, I mean, it's out there.
And it's pretty.
Pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's. I like it. It's good
so
stuff.
So thanks for one-upping me, Andy. Good job.
Dang. I went with John Bennett, who is at JCBJR. He's our professor emeritus from Virginia, and he is always in here. And even when he isn't, he apologizes for missing.
I know. I love him.
Like, and he's a retired and living the great life now, but his thirst for learning.
Yeah, no, that's it. He is always still seeking and learning. And even when like something is thrown into, I mean, we were talking about podcasts a couple weeks ago, and anything we're doing, he tries to find out more about. Mm-hmm. And anything we talk about, he tries to find out more about. And I mean, the guy is just considerate.
He does.
He considers things.
He does. I would love to see him 30 years previous with the same tools available to us now. I would love to be like in his class. I bet it would be so dynamic. But
he would slay.
Enough about John.
Yeah.
His tweet.
How about his tweet? What did he say?
And this is why I picked it. His tweet said, students in their documenting, presenting, use their tools, artifacts, and processes to explain their efforts. And he used the pronoun T-H-E-I-R, there.
In caps.
In caps every time.
Yeah. And I think that he really likes the students to have ownership, mm-hmm. which, I mean, again, he's retired. Student ownership, you know, student voice, students leading the way is relatively new, right? I mean, it's been around a little while, but again, in his prime, he was like the trailblazer of student voice, student choice.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
You can give kids worksheets, right? And
right.
All 30 kids are doing the exact same worksheet, but doesn't necessarily document how well everybody learns. And maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. I mean, I don't know, but I know that with some things that I can do, I can show you this piece better than a worksheet.
Right.
And with the technology available to us today, why aren't we trying to promote a bit more of that?
No, I love it.
I mean, it's easier to do now than ever before to give kids some of that uniqueness. And they can use their stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, this question.
All right.
At first, I was like, come on, man. But then it grew on me, and then I was like, I'm behind this. I'm a cheerleader for this question. What types of professional development do you provide your students?
You said students, you meant teachers.
No, students. And so I was like, we just teach them how to do that. But then I thought, okay, whenever I go to a professional development, they're just teaching me how to do that. Mm-hmm, so why does it have to be different? And we're giving them more vocabulary. And you know, maybe if we start treating them like young professionals, they start showing us more, professional level, artifacts. And I don't know. I really like the idea of professional development for your students. Anyway, I went with an Alan Lehman tweet, and he is at Alan_Lehman. He said, "This is such a great question. I think the best PD I can give my students is literacy and tech tools beyond Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram." Mm-hmm. And you know, I totally agree, but why not teach how to use Facebook, Snapchat, and Instagram for the greater good of education versus teaching them something new? Why don't you go with something they already have? Other than maybe they don't want to, clutter up their Instagram with schooly stuff.
Right.
I don't know.
Which I ran into a little bit of that with my kids when I was trying to get them to use Twitter to make some connections. But so that is possible. But, we just give a kid, we take a phone and we just give it to a kid, or we take an iPad and we give it to a student and we just expect them to be able to know how to use that. And they may know how to Snapchat a filter and get that perfect pose, like for whatever orneriness there.
Duck lips.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Duck lips or booties or whatever. But then what if we were to teach them how to do a book snap?
Yeah.
And that would change in the whole dynamic.
I picked a second tweet on this. Lisa answered her own question. She said, "Student PD has been relatively new for us. We do iPad base camps," mm-hmm. which is just what you're talking about. "Presentation skills, note-taking, managing digital distractions." Like, they teach their kids all of these things and how to overcome these things so that the kids just one step ahead of the next school over,
I like that idea. I like that. And she put a lot of tweets contain links to different things that she has going on. And so we put all those. I tried to catch all the tweets. I don't know if I did. But I captured a lot and put them in the show notes. So click into the landing page for the podcast and you can see the different things that Lisa shared. Because I think the iPad base camp is something that for schools that are one-to-one needs to be considered.
Well, and Chromebook Basecamp, I mean, MacBook Basecamp.
Right, whatever your one-to-one
so many
in, have a Basecamp for that.
With your tools
right.
that you don't just know automatically.
Right.
Yeah.
Otherwise, kids will just be watching YouTube videos. So I went with Christy Cooper, who is at ChrisCoop80. She said, take them to conferences so they can network with other students across Oklahoma and also get to hear great speakers.
Of course she said that.
And,
you know,
that's what we like to do at conferences, network and listen.
Yeah. Well, and I'm just, hey, Scott, my kids are amazing. They're doing all these things. They're so great. They're so polite. I can tell you
my
all
kids
I
are
want,
better.
But if they're here and you can see them, mm-hmm. then you know. I don't even have to brag about my students because they are, you know, without bragging, doing
right.
it for me.
Right. And so Jody Maxey, who's an Oakland editor on occasion, not very often, but she does a lot of really cool maker space stuff. And she would bring her kids every year to Encyclomedia. I wasn't able to go this year to Encyclomedia, but... in the past she's had them there and her kids will explain to you exactly what they're doing, how they're doing it, why they're doing it, where they're doing it. And if something's not working right, they're fiddling with it right there. You can see them going through their troubleshooting, thought processing processes.
Yeah.
So yeah, for sure. I mean, gosh, dang. Q6, how do you ensure students avoid digital distractions and manage, organize their digital binder? And so just another fast plug flip class. I'm not saying all of my students were angels. They weren't. And I'm not saying they all obeyed the rules 100%. They didn't. But I had less digital distraction issues in flip class than I did in regular class.
Well, I definitely would agree with that. Because they've got, I don't know, it just seems like there's more of a checklist in my version of the flipping of the class. But I've got kids who still mess it up, man. Mm-hmm. I've got a couple of kids who just love those Minecraft videos. And I guess they're watching how to build or, I don't know, what do you do in Minecraft that there needs to be a video for it? But whatever.
There's some amazing builds on Minecraft videos.
Okay. I believe you. But I want my kids to do their schoolwork.
Yeah.
So, wow. M. Navy, she is at OB1_Canaby. She said, I wore out many pair of shoes, but few seats of pants. I thought that was beautiful. It was perfect. Get up, get around, get next to them.
You're trying to teach from behind your desk or interact with your kids from behind your desk.
Yeah.
The whole time. Like, there are times when you're like, okay, you five, come to me. I get that. But
sure.
If you have booty grooves on your teacher chair.
You're wearing out your chair.
Yeah.
You have a pillow on your chair.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
No, I agree. Get up and around. Ask those kids. Talk to them. Meet them where they are. I went with Lauren Pena. She is at Lauren_Pena16. She said, usually if they know I'm going to give them time with their device, they stick with me during my time. Emphasis on usually. I think there's no golden ticket here, but there's tips and
sure.
tricks.
Well, and you might need to vary your tips and tricks. What works, you know, mm-hmm. for 1 month might not work next month because they're over that tip
right.
or trick.
Or or even what worked before lunch doesn't work after lunch.
mean, exactly. Yeah. Well, question 7. If you could give a secondary student, okay, 6th through 12th grade here, mm-hmm. one piece of advice mm-hmm. for the future, what would it be?
I would say, I have a couple. One, never again will you have to learn so much about so many things. Right, because in high school, what is
unless you want to,
unless
right?
You want, unless you sure. are, yeah. Because what happens when you get to college? You declare a major. You take all these things, and you find out what you're interested in, and then you're just into that major. You're narrowed down,
right.
and you're studying stuff that hopefully you enjoy learning about. And,
right.
and sometimes even if sometimes that stuff isn't very fun, but it's kind of giving you your foundation for the fun stuff that comes later. But it's in a specific field of study or whatever. And,
right.
Gosh, and in high school we just throw everything at them. And
you need algebra, you need geometry, yeah. you need algebra 2, you need a higher level math.
Yeah.
You need, yeah.
You know, maybe a student doesn't need history, but wants to take like 9 years of math and of science in 4 years.
Yeah.
Like, can we figure that out? Like, and I'm not, I love history. I think it's very important. I'm just using this as an example. I'm not saying get rid of history.
But nope, Scott Hazelwood. He is at Teach from here. Whoa. Go ahead, Twitter, light him up. SS chat, get a hold of him.
So on the flip side of that, maybe a student wants to become a scholar on the American Civil War.
Isn't your son doing something like that?
Really dig into that.
Isn't your son doing something to that effect?
No, he's really interested in World War II right now, but he's not doing anything too. I've tried to nudge him to do some deeper digging.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, man, you should maybe put together a cool web page or something and kind of share what you've discovered about certain aspects of World War II. He hadn't bit it yet. But then the other thing, too, that I would say is that I picked up from coaching a guy that I really admired in Kansas City. And he said, I asked him what his goal was for the team. And mm-hmm. he goes, I want them to be in a position to succeed.
That's beautiful.
And I thought that was really good because that doesn't mean you're going to succeed every time. And success is different. Like, success may not be winning a game. I mean, because if I'm playing with my Bad News Bears squad and we're going up against, you know, the elite of the elite, success for us is not necessarily a win. But success for us may be hanging in there and doing the best that we can. Like, legitimately not being intimidated. Playing is what, you know.
Right.
And so the same thing for you as a high school student. You may not always succeed, but you can be in a position to succeed.
Well, and I heard, and I may be wrong, so science people get me if I am, but I heard that penicillin was a mistake. It was actually a failure. Did you hear this?
Oh, I don't know. We're going to have all of Oklahoma into the Googles.
Yeah, please fact check me. But I had heard that penicillin was actually a failure, and then they found a reason for it. But they were looking for something else. Anyway, I went with an Aubrey Noel tweet here, and she said, find passion, follow it. Mm-hmm. Do the work toward it. Don't stop, ever. Hard work towards your passion makes you unstoppable.
Yeah, I love that.
And there were just lots of periods, lots of commas. Like, she was trying to be as intentional as she could mm-hmm. with the way she was saying it. I love that.
She is at Aubrey Noel, too.
Yes, she is.
I went with Coder J, and he is at iCoder1978. He said, focus on the experience. Grades will come and go. 20 years from now, you will remember the moments more than the grades.
Mm, so true.
Yeah. I got one other one.
Tell me.
I played basketball in high school, mm-hmm. and my basketball coach every year he had these rules that he would read, and it was the same rules every year.
Okay.
And one of the rules was, somebody is always watching you, and being influenced by what you do. So make good choices. Okay. And as a high school kid, I remember thinking, ugh, Coach Crooks, I will do the best I can for you, but that rule, I just don't get it. And sure shooting, 3 years later, after I graduated, not 3 years later, but after I graduated, I went and taught at my alma mater. Coach Crooks was still coaching basketball there.
Still with the same set of rules?
Still, I think the rules had changed a little bit.
Okay.
But I was working, and one of the secretary ladies, I just started talking with her, and she goes, yeah, my son used to love to come watch you play basketball. And I was like, me? Like, I go, oh, well, that's...
I just got goosebumps.
I go, that's really nice. And she said, yeah. She goes, he loved your haircut and always wanted a haircut just like yours. In high school, I had like a straight out of the 50s flat top.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah. More awesome is this kid who remembers you and this lady who said, my kid loved watching you. Yeah. That's awesome.
But Coach Crooks was right. Somebody is watching. And so I say that to the high school kids, to you now, somebody's watching you and you're influencing them, whether you realize it or not, you know?
So I just noticed both of our Boom Sauce tweets are... also answer sevens, answering the same question. So let's continue the love and great advice. Mrs. Waters, who is at Waters English, says to my students, show up, do your best, try again. Life is recursive.
Hey, that also caught the eye of our moderator.
I know. She loved it too.
Yeah, that's a good one. I went with now Jun Kim, who is at MPS Technology. This is three of four, but I liked three the best. And it said, now, live in the now. Don't let it become the past. Do your best now. Don't wish.
Man, he's just full of great information sometimes. Yeah.
Like, don't wish. Don't wish. Don't wish. Do it.
Don't wish.
If you don't take that risk, if you don't do that thing, if you don't put yourself in a position to succeed, you'll always wonder, what if?
Bam.
See?
Boom.
See?
Boom.
You got nothing to say to that.
There is nothing. Yeah, I got nothing left. Other than, I do need to close this episode. So okay, let me tell you, next week, Mr. Edge Blogger, Mr. Rob Miller is leading our chat. He is going to be doing teacher expectations for school leaders.
Right.
Now, he was a principal of the year a couple of years ago.
He was, yes.
And so he probably has a little bit to say about this.
He sure probably does.
Well, and it sounds like they're looking for teacher information as well. So how can teachers feed and give great feedback to their leaders? And
I think it'll be interesting. Teacher expectations for school leaders by the Edge Blogger.
Yes, and that's going to be at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time on Sunday.
Yep, just like it is every Sunday.
Every Sunday.
Every Sunday.
Hold on, do I need to get the guitar out?
What? No, don't embarrass me. Hold on. I can't play my guitar. Okay, Erin's getting her guitar. She's
every Sunday. Every Sunday. 8 p.m. the Twitter chat, it goes on someday. Be there.
Todd Gregg. All right.
All right, educators, you know what to do. Go out and dominate the world.
Hey, Erin, do you have a song for Todd?
I do. You want me to do it now?
Yeah, do it.
You ready?
Yeah. Ready? A one, a two, a one, two, three, four.
Todd Gregg. No, that was horrible. Ready? Todd Gregg. It's funny when you hit me with the tag on the Twitter. I'm doing a one-week lag.
We're only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma.